Alrighty. Okay, let's have you turn tonight to Proverbs to begin. Proverbs, let's begin with chapter 18. And you are going to need to keep your Bibles all warmed up and handy. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Okay, go back to chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So you got a wounded spirit and a broken spirit. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Another broken spirit. Now, Psalm 51. And again, you got to keep your hands handy in this area of the Bible here tonight. Psalm 51. And notice verse 17, Psalm 51. It's not what I even wanted. What in the world? Yeah, it is. There it is. I was looking the wrong way. I'm sorry. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Again, a broken spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for these things. And Lord, I pray you might guide our thoughts in these things. Lord, we live now in a day where folks don't work like they should. I don't mean labor, but their hearts and minds and spirits are all messed up. Father, spiritually, we are a corrupted, polluted people. We're surrounded by the lost. The world contributes to how bad things are. The devil and the devils, Father, have issues where they contribute as well. So, Father, we need light into the spiritual world of what makes us tick. I pray you might help us here around this time of year. Lord, we hear that there are more suicides than any other time of the year. I'm not too worried about folks here committing suicide, but I pray, Father, you'd help us as we labor to understand something tonight. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had an entry in, I told the guys in Preaching His Problems and Prep and Delivery that I've kept for years, you know, little spiral notebooks, the little 3x5 things, and read my Bible. I keep notes, you know, ideas, questions I have about something, that sort of thing. Out of all that, you know, now 57 of those little notebook things, all the sermons that I get basically come out of the seed of that. And I've had this entry in one for quite some time. In fact, really more than one entry. And beside it, I've had those broken spirits versus wounded spirit. And in Proverbs 18:14, you have a wounded spirit there where the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And then you have two broken spirits that are bad. And then you go to David, who the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. So this all started the other day when I got a little light on one of the verses with a question. What's the difference, first of all, between a broken spirit and a wounded spirit? Okay, and then secondly, what is it that wounds a spirit? And what is it that breaks the spirit? And what is it that makes the breaking an acceptable sacrifice in Psalm 51? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a wounded and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. That one's good. But those other two, Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 17, which we'll see again, those are bad. Okay? So I came out of this thing with questions and thinking about, you know, the wounded spirit and the broken spirit. And, you know, you always hear about, oh, if you're, you know, have a troublesome child and you're disciplining the child, well, you got to be careful about not breaking their spirit. And in POW camps and prison of war camps, that sort of thing, somebody being broken in spirit and lost the will to live and that sort of thing, somebody under a health condition where they become a broken spirit, I guess, and lose the will to live, at least that's how it's used. And so my question is, in the end, what does all that mean? And did God say these things about the wounded spirit and the broken spirit and then really leave you without means of figuring out what it all means? And so, you know, I don't believe that. So I want to preach to you tonight on the spirit of a man, because that's what I understand this to be, the spirit of a man, okay? And I'm going to have to go back to the beginning of this. And this is more of a Bible study by far than it is a sermon. So again, you're going to have to keep the old Bible handy tonight. Your fingers are going to be bleeding by the time it's over, and it's going to be really bad, because you're going to have to turn to a lot of places, but they're not very far apart. Anyway, so let me talk to you about this, see if we can develop this out, and you tell me where I'm thinking and evaluating this wrong, and see if we can get some light in this. Look at, first of all, Zechariah chapter 12. That's the most challenging scripture of the night. Zechariah chapter 12, last book before Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah 12. And again, I kind of backed up and just, I didn't understand. And okay, broken versus wounded, good versus bad. So I backed up and started asking questions like I do when I don't understand something. So Zechariah 12:1. What is the spirit of a man? The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Okay, so start with the very beginning. God forms the spirit of a man. So that it's reasonable then to say that each man has a spirit, the spirit of man, the spirit of a man, right? I think you'll see, if you have questions about that, you'll see soon enough, that's no problem. Now, having said that, a little New Testament theology has to enter in here, because the Bible says that when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they died. And it has to be that they died spiritually. So I do and still understand that to mean that Adam and Eve died in their trespasses and sins, and what died was not their soul, and it wasn't their body they lived 900 years after. It had to be their spirit, right? Which, that messes everything up if having a dead spirit means having a dormant, unconscious, you know, flatline spirit. That can't be, because these verses you're going to see here tonight show that that's not the case with man. And so, again, I fall back on the idea that, for one, the second death is the lake of fire. The second death is conscious torment for those in the lake of fire. Is that right? So, necessarily, being dead in sin spiritually before God is not the same as being flatlined, dead, unconscious, and out of it. That's not the case. It's the fact that God considers the spirit of a man dead, at least compared to what it could have, should have been, right? And so I'm not disputing that a man must be born again. The Spirit of God gives him the new birth. He has a new spirit, and he was before dead in sin. I'm just saying that just because somebody is dead in their sins doesn't mean their spirit is flatlined, gone, unconscious, dormant. Does that make sense? Otherwise, a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible that you're going to see tonight doesn't work at all. For instance, having established that each man has the spirit of man, look in Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Still trying to kind of get a feel for what the spirit of a man is supposed to do. You know, 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. So, if I can draw a conclusion, the spirit of a man, I don't believe it's his conscience, but it must work in some conjunction with the conscience because it's supposed to search the inward parts of the belly, right? If you could just go down to verse 30 in chapter 27, or I'm sorry, chapter 20. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Spirit of man searches out the inward parts of the belly. Sometimes the Lord wounds a man, gives a man stripes to cleanse the inward parts of the belly. But importantly, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, right? That said, Job 32. Job 32. Again, what is the spirit of a man and what does it do? Job 32, verse 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So I think I understand that to mean that a man's spirit is supposed to search out the inward parts of the belly, and that God's going to do something for that spirit and try to impart understanding. So the spirit of a man is supposed to understand some things. Now, with that said, go back a page or two to Job 28. And with the understanding that the inspiration of the Almighty giveth the spirit of a man understanding, Job 28:28, what is understanding? And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, if I understand this right then by what I'm saying, I know that a lost guy, I know that a guy that's not been born again, that is, people in the Old Testament, I know that their spirits were dead, okay? And so they were, in that respect, natural men, like somebody today that's lost is a natural man. But apparently there is still some understanding to be gotten. I know of some lost guys that are actually pretty moral. I know some lost guys that do have a certain fear for God and do desire, at least at some level, to depart from certain things. I know plenty of lost guys that are real uncomfortable with sodomy. And if they're in the presence of one, they want to get away. Okay? So, departing from evil is understanding. A lost guy, a natural man, still dead in his sins, can still get that much understanding from God. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And that is done by the Spirit of man. Right? We okay so far? Just if I'm thinking really askew, just let me know. Only later. Not. Don't interrupt my sermon. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. Now again, branching out just for a moment from there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Okay? Understanding is to depart from evil. There is then this, Proverbs 9, verse 10. Somebody can quote the verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding, too. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth the spirit of man understanding. And some of the knowledge of the Holy can at least be perceived, apparently, by a lost guy. And again, there's a lot of lost guys that have been through church history and all that feared God, feared God's wrath, feared God's judgment. Well, that's understanding. Now, we have a deeper understanding as Christians, and we'll talk about that in a second, but apparently a lost guy can get that much even with his dead spirit in the eyes of God, right? So far, so good, we find? Thank you. Good. So, that said, if the inspiration of the Almighty giveth the spirit of man understanding, that spirit of man is supposed to search the inward parts of the belly. It's supposed to get him understanding. So he's supposed to depart from evil. He's supposed to have a knowledge of the holy. There is then this. If he does get that, look in Proverbs 17 real quick. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. He has an excellent spirit if he gets that understanding. That would be the spirit of man. He would have an excellent spirit if he gets the understanding God inspires into him. With that said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And talking about the things that God reveals to man. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them, those things, the things of God, unto us, that is, in this context, saved people, by His Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. Right? For the Spirit, Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? See, a man has a spirit, and it is supposed to search the inward parts of the belly. It's supposed to come to an understanding of certain things, and it can come to an understanding of certain things. And it's what makes a man a man. It's what makes a man be able to understand another man. You know, a dog can't understand a man, but a man can because he is the same spirit. It's the spirit of man. Verse 11. Save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So a lost guy without the spirit of God may understand some things. He may be able to search out some things, but he's crippled because he doesn't have the capital S spirit. Fair enough? Now that said, let me synopsize for just a second. So you got this lost guy. And the lost guy has a dead spirit. He must be born again. The dead spirit doesn't mean that he's dormant, flatlined. It means that in God's sight, he can't get what he should because he has the wrong spirit, and that spirit is fallen, and in God's sight, it's dead. He is a natural man. That is, he's brutish. He receives the bare minimum from God. He can grasp a knowledge of the holy, at least at some level. He knows he should depart from certain evil. He probably, or he can at least, have a moral compass. I know lost guys that know full well adultery is wrong. I know lost guys that know they should quit smoking or quit drinking or quit gambling and get saved. But they're not. So he has a moral compass. He is may very well have a guilty conscience. He may very well need, and he does need to depart from evil. That all is good. Now, if you'll look down at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, you'll see that this lost guy with a dead spirit, the natural man, is a sucker for the spirit of this world. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. The guy that's the natural man, down later in this passage, this guy is going to have, he has problems with his own spirit because the spirit's dead. And he's not getting everything he needs. So he's a sucker for the spirit of the world. He's a further sucker for something else, verse 13. which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. He's going to be a sucker for man's wisdom. What other dead spirits of men teach. Makes sense? Furthermore, we learn from Ephesians chapter 2 that not only does he have a spirit, but there is a spirit that worketh in him. It's the spirit of disobedience. It's the devil. Okay? He walks in the lusts of his flesh. He has issues with familiar spirits, unclean spirits, evil spirits, so-called devil spirits or whatever. And on top of it, as far as describing a lost guy's spirit, there's going to be somewhere along the way that he's probably haughty and proud. He's going to be self-righteous at some level. He may well have the spirit of whoredoms in the sense of idolatry, you know, that sort of thing. He'll probably lie about something. He'll probably pretend about something. He'll probably deceive somebody about something. Okay? So, this guy is not in the best shape. That said, think for a moment about Psalm 51, verse 17. Let me take you back there again. Psalm 51, 17 is, of course, David writing after his gross sins surrounding the Bathsheba incident. And it says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That broken heart there is good. So think about this for a second. Here's David. David, contrary to some people's opinion, was not born again. He still had a dead spirit in the sense that lost men that are not born again have dead spirits. And for that matter, Old Testament saints that were not born again had dead spirits. Right? There came a point in his life, he loved God and all those things, but there came a point in his life, that night standing up on the roof, he had a lustful spirit. It was an adulterous spirit. After he was found out, he had a deceitful spirit and a duplicitous spirit. And by the way, a murderous spirit. And in that case, he needed breaking. And so God did the 2x4 thing, bam, and broke him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit in that respect. If a guy has the wrong spirit and won't get right, fine. God will break him, right? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. So in that context, the broken spirit's a good thing. Now, tell me why in Proverbs 15, with that said, Proverbs 15, 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. If I'm reading that right, that is not a desirable breaking of the spirit. You see what I'm saying? Look in Proverbs 17. 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. If I read that right, that broken spirit's not a good spirit. It's not good to be broken that way, am I right? You think? Look at Proverbs 18, 14 where we started. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Well, that wounded spirit is not a good spirit. When David was broken, that was an acceptable sacrifice to God. That was a good broken spirit. These other three are not good broken or wounded spirits. So, what's the answer? Well, we've been talking as if David were a lost guy, so we've kind of been approaching as a lost guy type mentality. Think with me for a second about a saved guy. Again, Proverbs 18:14. A guy is saved. He has received Christ as Savior, pretty much doing right. So in chapter 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? That spirit of a man will sustain that guy's infirmity, okay? But if his spirit is wounded, then that's a bad deal. Okay, what does that mean? Look in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, notice 27 and see what you... I know this is similar to what we said earlier, but just hang in there. 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, I know that you have a conscience if you're saved. I know that the Spirit of God reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. But if you have the right kind of spirit, that spirit is supposed to search the inward parts of the belly. That is, you as a Christian should be introspective and self-evaluative of your own, out of your own spirit. And add to that the Holy Spirit. Add to that, hopefully, an enlivened, quickened conscience. And you're gonna have to walk straight or be miserable. If I read that right, that's the right spirit to have. Now look further. Look in Proverbs 20, down in verse 30. In fact, what's connected with it, if you would, in verse 30, since you were told in 27 that the spirit of the man searches the inward parts of the belly. Verse 30, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Get through this. To get through this, the Lord's going to whip you. You're going to wind up with bruises on your behind from the Lord spanking you. You're going to wind up with stripes on your back from the Lord spanking you. And what you do with those wounds and stripes, the condition the inward parts of your belly winds up in, is going to be in part a function of your own spirit. You see what I'm saying? What I'm painting, the picture I'm painting here for you is the right kind of spirit that a Christian is supposed to have. The lost guy, and then I'll say the rebellious, wayward Christian, is going to have to be broken. And God's going to take a 4x4 and whack him across the backside, upside the head. And in that case, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You need to be broken. And a breaking in that case is good. But in these cases here, that there's a breaking that's not good. And I just want to just keep, let me keep investigating this for a second. Now, once again, let me trouble you to go back to Job 32 and hit something we hit again, but this time from the perspective of a saved guy, or lady for that matter. Job 32, verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Okay, a saved man is supposed to come to understanding of some things. What is he supposed to come to understanding of? Well, Proverbs 9 again. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by the way, in another place, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And then it goes on to say, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth the spirit of man understanding. Okay, that tells me something. That tells me there are some things connected with the right kind of spirit, and one of them is the fear of God and wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then there's further Job 28. Job 28. And 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, there it is again. That is wisdom, there it is again. And to depart from evil is understanding. Okay? You're a saved guy. And you have a spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord giveth, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth you understanding. And you should fear some things. You should fear God. You should be wise. It's a function and part of what you know. It's a function and part of you being willing to depart from evil. And if a man that is of good understanding is of an excellent spirit, we've already seen tonight, right? Now, go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we looked at this from the lost guy's perspective, but look at it from the saved guy's perspective. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, back in verse 9. The things of God, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. We are at great advantage over a lost guy. Because a lost guy, he's got a conscience that's probably in part seared and defiled. He's got his own spirit. And then he's got the spirit of the world and the spirit of the devil working in him that try to blind his eyes. So he may understand some things, but boy, should you understand a lot more. Look down in verse 10 again. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. There's knowledge. There's the knowing. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. To know the things that are freely given to us of God, I mean, knowing the things. The spirit of a man that's saved, he should have fear. He should have knowledge. He should want to know. He should be willing to depart from evil. He should search his own heart and spirit inwardly, the inward parts of the belly, knowing the things of God. And how about this? Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Remember what the question is. The difference between a broken spirit and a wounded spirit. And why was it fine for David? Why was for David the sacrifices of God a broken spirit? But in Proverbs 15 and 17, a man having a broken spirit was not a good thing. Look in Isaiah 66, go down to verse 2. For all things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. If he's poor and has a contrite spirit, I'll look to that guy, says the Lord. But his spirit should be contrite. Okay? Obviously, your spirit should be contrite. Barack Obama does not have a contrite spirit. Harry Reid does not have a contrite spirit. Nancy Fregosi does not have a contrite spirit. In relation to that, Isaiah 57, a couple pages back. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him, also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. Oh, no, think about that. Small s spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. Now, remember we started out here with a man's spirit. Should, what is 18:14, quote it now. Should sustain his infirmity, right? A man's spirit should sustain his infirmity. Hear the Lord saying, listen, I'm here to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Look at just one more. Proverbs 29. I'm almost done. Just hang in there. Proverbs 29. 23. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Man's spirit. A man should have a humble and a contrite spirit. Now tell me, what if he's got a spirit, even if he's saved, that's proud and haughty? Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. See, here's what I think. This all started with me asking, okay, here's David. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. God took a 2x4 and busted David and broke his spirit, and that was a good thing. In this context here, and maybe for a rebellious, backslidden Christian, maybe that breaking fits as well and is a good thing. But when I read Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 17, you know what I think the broken spirit that is not desirable is? I think it's the fact that your spirit is broke. It's not functioning like it should. It's supposed to be humble. It's supposed to be contrite. It's supposed to want to know God. It's supposed to want to depart from evil. That is understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. But his spirit is broken. It's not working right. And so he's not getting any of this. You see what I'm saying? How about this? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Okay, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. A man's spirit, a man is supposed to be patient in spirit. But what if he's hasty in spirit? His spirit is broke. It ain't working right. You see what I'm saying? That's the reason those two places, the wounded spirit that's not quite broken, it's not working right though, and then a broken spirit that's not working right at all. And so people get messed up. It's not about being broken and that being a sacrifice. In this case, it's about his spirit being broken. It's not working right. He should have been patient in spirit. Instead, he's hasty. So he just makes one mess after another with one bad decision after another. How about this? Look in Isaiah 29. 24. Isaiah 29, 24. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding. There it is again. But they are erred in spirit now. They have to come to this. Shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. A man erring in his spirit is not good. What if a man is wrong in his spirit? What if it's in connection with doctrine? They that murmured shall learn doctrine. And he hasn't been too concerned about the details of eternal security and salvation, the blood atonement, and the second coming of Christ and the deity of Christ. He hasn't been too concerned about those things. And because he's not concerned, he winds up erring in spirit, thinking wrong, and thus making wrong decisions. His spirit's not working right. It's broken. It's broke. And that's why Proverbs 15, Proverbs 17, the broken spirit is not a good thing. But in Psalm 51 it is, because David got broken because God broke his spirit, broke the rebellion, and he got right. In this case, the broken spirit is not working right. It's a different play on being broke. Being broken. Let me continue with just a couple more thoughts here. Look in Matthew 5. I know you know the verse, but Matthew 5. A man is supposed to be patient in spirit. He's supposed to have an understanding spirit. He's supposed to desire to depart from evil. That is understanding. He should desire a knowledge of the holy. He should be willing to evaluate himself and think about the mistakes he's made and find out why he made them and how to make them right. How about this? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But what if you're not poor in spirit? What if you say, oh, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? Your spirit's not working right, and you're going to make some bad choices, and things are not going to be right spiritually for you. Right? What if you're like backslidden Solomon, who is playing around with sin under the guise of it being scientific experimentation, and in the end, his looking at all this stuff kind of thwarts his vision, and he winds up over and over in Ecclesiastes, what? Vexed in spirit. He's vexed. Because he's not thinking right. He's not right with God. He's experimenting with sin, which God did not approve. And because he sees certain things coming down the pipe, he doesn't, in spite of his wisdom, he doesn't understand it. Because the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding, and he doesn't want to understand them. And so he's vexed in spirit. His spirit ain't working right. He's not fit to lead a puppy out for a walk. You see what I'm saying? His spirit is broken. Not in the same way David's is broken. He's essentially a backslidden Christian whose spirit is wrong. It's broke. It's not working right. Look in Romans. Well, you don't have to look there. Romans 12 says we're to be fervent in spirit. Fervent. I mean hot. Whew. But what if you are given the spirit of sleep like the Lord gave the Egyptians? What if you're, rather than fervent, you're lackadaisical and lazy and sleepy? Combined with having no understanding, not having a desire of the holy, not being willing to search the inward parts of the belly, you're not fit to lead the cat outside. Your spirit is broke. It's not working right. Look in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. You're supposed to have rule over your spirit. When it comes to your temper and the things that come out of your mouth, I mean, the perverseness of the tongue is a breach in the spirit. You're supposed to have rule over your own spirit. But your temper gets away and your mouth gets away from you and you're bitter and you're unforgiving and you're and it just goes on. You have no rule over your own spirit. That spirit, it's broke. It ain't working right. And if you stay there in that place, it may be true that what eventually has to happen is that then the Lord has to break the spirit of rebellion. And then if you're broken, then it's a sacrifice to God that's acceptable. But as for now, as you sit right now, if that's the case, your spirit is broken in that it's just not working like it should. Again, let me go back and touch this one more time. Proverbs 18, then I'm done, I promise. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 14. Now look. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Your spirit is supposed to bear up under whatever the Lord lays on you. And yet you find that sometimes, for some, a trial comes upon them and they collapse. Why? Because in Proverbs 18:14, but a wounded spirit who can bear. His spirit is wounded in that it's not working right. And so he collapses under the pressure of the infirmity. Look in Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I mean, having a spirit that's not working right will make you dry up like a withered cripple. It says there in verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's part of the problem, because the heart's connected with it, and the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so you're told, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's still a heart problem when you're dealing with a problem with the spirit of man. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Again, that's not a good breaking of the spirit. Okay, I thought your spirit was supposed to sustain the infirmity. So why in chapter 15, verse 13, does the spirit not sustain the sorrow? How many here have ever known somebody that went through some terrible thing where they lost a husband or lost a wife or lost something terrible, and they bore up under it, and yet then some small, petty little thing happens, and it's the end of the world, and they're out of the race and out of the fight and gone. Something's wrong spiritually. The spirit is not working right. And it's your responsibility to keep it working right, because keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And it's still a heart problem when it's a spirit problem. But that to me explains why in one case the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. When a man is a rebel, a sinner, and is broken down and finally gives, that's acceptable. But the other broken spirit in the Bible, as best I can understand it, is that that spirit is just not working right. It's broken. And you need to be able, you need to shore it up and get it working right. And it doesn't take a mechanic. It takes the right heart. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we have humbly come to you here tonight, seeking an answer for this. Lord, I've had questions about it for a while, and I appreciate what light you gave me. I may not have gotten my arms around everything in it yet. Father, I pray you might help this to be a help to somebody that needs it. Again, we're aware we live in a time here and a season in which, around all the merriment and the bells and the jingles and the jangles, there are an awful lot of folks that are miserable all the way down to the soul. And suicide soars, and people are depressed and take pills and seek answers and can't find them, Father. Well, we're Christians, and we have a Bible, and we believe the Bible that we have. And we have the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. Help us understand these things. Help us to labor in these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a few. Now, I don't know who I ministered to here tonight and who I didn't. I don't know who needed it and who didn't, but it answered some questions for me. Let me ask you, where are you at in your spirit? Doesn't take a genius to figure out that you're supposed to have the right kind of spirit. Well, how's that going? Is your spirit really the candle of the Lord that cooperates with the Holy Spirit and the conscience to search the inward parts of the belly and reprove of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come? If the Lord's intent were that the Spirit of the Almighty, the inspiration rather of the Almighty, would give the spirit of man understanding, are you a receptive vessel for the inspiration of the Almighty in departing from evil
and a knowledge of the holy.
Patient in spirit, fervent in spirit, contrite in spirit, humble in spirit.
See you here on Wednesday night, Lord willing. Hope you can make it. If you can't, we understand family stuff and all that, but let's pray. Father, thank you for a good day today. All you allowed to us to enjoy. Pray it might prosper folks that have come. Again, our hearts go out to some folks we'd love to see here that have visited some in the past and either out sick or have not followed through with some commitments. I pray you'd be with them. Maybe as we travel or with family this week, and friends, we look forward to what you're going to do in this coming year. We pray that you'll bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Yes, sir.
The Teen Activity Thursday.
Teen Activity Thursday.
Yep.
No Institute, right. Yep. Okay, Teen Activity Thursday at 6. Woo-woo. See ya.
Yes.
Thank you, yes.